Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight is that time again for the Ocean State Theater Company. And Amy Turner is here. Welcome back, Amy.
Thank you, Mike.
Nice to have you back again.
Always a pleasure.
It's great. We were talking before the show started about we've been doing this a long time. Lots of shows. Getting up there.
Yeah, since 2007 was the first time I had the pleasure of guesting on your show. And yeah, I think we need to officially count because I think we're getting close to 50.
We're getting close to, that's amazing.
Maybe 48?
Who would have thunk? But we'll count it up and then we'll have a celebration sometime this year.
Great.
Because Ocean State Theater has lots of productions coming up during the year. And right now we're here to talk about Dial M for Murder. And Amy has brought Rudy Sanda along. Rudy, welcome.
Thank you very much, Mike. Pleasure to be here.
Nice to have you with us. And Rudy is a Rhode Island guy, so we're going to find out all about that. But I was leading to the fact that Dial M for Murder starts next Wednesday and is going to run through November 16th. And then after that, we have Meet Me in St. Louis, Louis, right, Amy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then several others down the road.
A great mix, yes.
A great mix. And you just finished a terrific run of My Fair Lady, critically acclaimed, is nice to say.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. My Fair Lady, my opinion is that it was just a really beautiful production. But I would say it stands out of the 17 shows that we've done here in Warwick, that it was, with the exception, because there's always an exception of someone who will tell you they didn't like it, but with that simple exception, all of the critics kind of universally agreed on the quality of the production and the things that they liked, the set design, the leading actors, all of the actors, but the public too. It was kind of this strange, the first time where really
everything came together.
Yeah. Well, everybody agreed that this was a very special production.
Right.
And, you know, theater is art and art is subjective and everybody's entitled to their opinion and we're forced to interpret it. So we have to open ourselves to that opinion. It's lightning in a bottle. You don't always get it exactly right, and you don't get it exactly right for everybody.
That's the trick. And I always explain it to people and say, well, do you like blue? Do you like green? And
exactly.
You can have people argue over that.
It can be the prettiest color of blue, but if your favorite color is green, you'd rather see green.
That's right.
But this show was, I have to say, it was, everybody, you know, it was pretty universally accepted.
I agree. It was a terrific, terrific production.
And a great way to start the season.
And a wonderful director was in charge. Oh, that was you. That's right. Dial M for Murder, of course, was a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll follow that path in a few moments. But let's get to Rudy. And I mentioned that you're a Rhode Island guy.
That I am.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing wicked awesome. How are you?
Originally from Cranston?
That's true. I am originally from Cranston. I have traveled around the world and ended back up in Cranston because I missed Rhode Island. You know, sometimes it takes traveling to different places to appreciate where you're from, and that certainly happened with me.
We have a little bit of a connection. We found out when we first not met because we've actually met before, but it was quite a few years ago, and Rudy was at Parkview Junior High School. Is that where you met? My friend Rick Lepore, and he was your music teacher there, so that's our little connection.
Yes, and he's good friends with my parents, and you know, I still see him to this day. He's a great guy.
great musician, and
absolutely
a tribute to him, in that a lot of people have gone down the road and continued music and theater and so forth because of his inspiration.
Yes, he influenced a lot of us in a very positive way.
Let's get back to more of you. Did you go on from Parkview to study theater, or how did all this happen?
Yes, after Parkview, I went to Cranston East, and I had Donald Babbitt as my teacher there, and he was great. He was a wonderful drama teacher.
Another Rhode Island icon as
yes,
far as drama is concerned.
Yeah. So I had him actually in his last year of teaching, so I was fortunate to get a chance to work with him. And then the next year, Joe Wallace took over, and then he was my teacher there. And, you know, I had various interests, theater being one of them. I wasn't sure I was going to go into that when I went to college. I actually was going to be a lawyer originally. And then I did a college production of Cabaret with Judith Swift, and it changed how I thought about theater. I got to see what a real, fully mounted production looked like with professional people and amazing sets and, you know, really focused actors. And mm-hmm. it just turned on a light for me, and I decided that that's what I wanted to do after that.
So that means the college you went to was the University,
University of Rhode Island, correct.
Because I didn't think she was teaching anywhere else.
But no.
All right, and then World Travels. Give us a little bit of World Travels brought you where?
So after I graduated college, my two college roommates and I decided we wanted to go out to Los Angeles and try our hand at film and TV. Mm-hmm. So we moved to Hollywood. All of us piled into my little Toyota Tercel with as many belongings as we could stuff into it and moved into our little one-room studio apartment and slept like sardines for a while.
So, a familiar story to a lot of people. Yeah.
It was quite an adventure, though, and you know, that first year and a half was amazing. You know, I did a lot of growing up, and it was wonderful. You know, I got into a really great school there called the Beverly Hills Playhouse, run by Milton Katselis, and he's a terrific teacher. And you know, I got my first agent and got my SAG card, and it was very exciting. You know, I got to do a little movie called Not Quite an Angel with Nickelodeon. And then I did a show called Gunshy with Michael Wincott, and that was great. That was my start in acting, my first two real big parts, and yeah, it was a great experience. I loved it.
Excellent. Well, we'll get to more about Rudy, who has a long background, and we'll get to more about the show, but let's get to the first piece of music, Amy, and get us going here on the music part of it.
Well, the show was written for Broadway, but as you pointed out, Alfred Hitchcock really made it very famous. I think a lot of people have memories of it. So we've decided to bring music for you today from Alfred Hitchcock films.
All right.
And this first piece is actually from an album, an Alfred Hitchcock album, if you can believe that, called Music to be Murdered By. So we'll open with an introduction from Mr. Hitchcock, leading into some of the music from Suspicion.
You just put that needle in what is known as my flip side. I won't be able to sit down for a week. This record, by the way, is unbreakable, but not bulletproof, so I urge you to be careful. I can't put this too strongly. Please don't stain the rug. Put bullet holes in the walls or indulge in any unseemly struggling because it creates a bad impression. People might think you are the type that throws wild parties. It is undignified actions of this kind that give murder a bad name.
Thank you.
music to set the mood. And Amy, now that we've set the mood, tell us a little bit about the production.
Well, Dial M for Murder was written by Frederick Knock for Broadway, so that's where it started, and it kind of begat a whole slew of these suspense thrillers, I think. And what's interesting about Dial M for Murder is that you actually, very early on, you find out who the bad guy is and you find out who the killer is. And so it's more about, will they get away with it? Will they get caught? Will the right person be held accountable for this murder? And additionally, even on top of that, is that good old fashioned motivation that you find out that the lead character has married his wife for her money. Oh. And decides that he needs to murder her for the very same reason. But as I like to say, the murderer gets murdered. And things do not go according to plan.
So we haven't given anything away here, because that all takes place right at the beginning, right?
Yeah, you do find out quite early on what's going to happen. So it really is the unraveling of this absolutely perfect crime that should have gone perfectly.
and
just how smart, and how smart this character is, because he takes this challenge, this imperfection, which is that the man, his wife is not dead, and the killer who could be tracked back to him is dead. And so now it's about, how does he get away with it? And ultimately decides that the best way of doing that is to make sure that his wife is blamed for the murder.
Okay. I think I followed that. So the one that we thought was dead is never mind.
Yes.
the trick is, we have to see it to figure it out, right?
Yeah. Yes. And right. All of the facts, he's just manipulating the story right from the beginning. But it's interesting because the story evolves. So, yes, you're not really giving away anything other than the most basic plot point when you say that he hires someone to kill his wife and it doesn't go the way he plans. Hmm. It's about, he comes so close.
Perfect for an Alfred Hitchcock type of scenario. And saying that, we talked a little bit long in our first segment. So let's go to the next piece of music and take another Alfred Hitchcock theme.
Yeah, probably, I would venture to say, perhaps his most beautiful, his most popular, movie, Psycho, which is composed by Bernard Herrmann, who composed many of his scores.
Thank you.
music to continue to set the mood, and we'll do that throughout the show. Let's go back to Rudy and talk about the character you portray. You're a captain. I presume a police captain in this.
Well, no, actually, Captain Lesgett is one of my many aliases. I'm actually a con man.
Oh.
The main character and I, the story is that, you know, we went to college together and haven't seen each other in many years. And but I was always known as, you know, the guy most likely to go to jail. So he runs into me after many years, and it's like this perfect serendipitous moment where, you know, he's thinking about murdering his wife, and then he sees me, and he puts two and two together, and he's like, okay, now I've got a plan. This guy is someone who I could probably get to do my dirty work for me. Mm-hmm. So he plans to invite me over on the pretense that he wants to buy this car I'm trying to sell, which is one of my other con schemes. And so I come over thinking I'm going to pull the wool over his eyes, and he turns the table on me. And so it's a game of cat and mouse, and I think I'm the cat at first, but then I become the mouse.
Well, there you go. That's a good twist. All right. And how many cast members? Well, let's get that in a minute, because we did run a little bit long in that first segment. So, Amy, I want to ask you about the run of the show, and then we'll come back and find more about the cast. But the show runs now opening Wednesday, with previews on Wednesday and Thursday, and then on Friday night is the official opening. And then
Halloween.
Runs Halloween night, how appropriate.
If you don't want to be home trick-or-treating.
Right. But you could come with me and see the show on Friday night. And that runs through November 16th, right? And if people are interested in tickets, they can get tickets how?
Either by coming by our box office, 1245 Jefferson Boulevard in Warwick. We open every day at noon. They could also call us, 401-921-6800. Or, of course, 24/7, get us online at www.oceanstatetheater.org. O-R-G.
O-R-G.
Org.
OMG.
All right, Amy, tell us about this next theme we're going to listen to.
This is another Bernard Herrmann score, another movie that most of your listeners are probably familiar with, The Man Who Knew Too Much, one of my favorites.
We'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more of the Ocean State Theater Company.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we're sitting with Amy Turner from the Ocean State Theater Company as they're about to present Dial M for Murder. And one of the stars, Rudy Sanda, is here. And Rudy, cast consists of what? Two people, five people, eight, 12?
Six in total, five others besides myself. Mm-hmm. We've got Amy Doherty playing the female lead. And Bill Mutos, who's playing her former lover. Drew Anthony Allen, who plays her husband. And Brandon Whitehead, who plays the police detective who comes to investigate the murder. And Jonathan Fisher, who plays several parts.
Now, of all those people, I don't recognize a lot of the names. You're the only one that's actually been to Ocean State Theater
yes,
before,
Yes, this is
right?
their first time at the theater. My second, I was in... The Diary of Anne Frank, where I played Mr. Crawler, and he was quite a different character. He was the nicest guy you could ever hope to meet.
Right. He's the one that gave them the space in the attic, right?
Exactly. He helped give them sanctuary.
Hid behind the bookcase door or whatever.
Yes. Okay. Ran the business for Mr. Frank while he was hiding.
Right. So for those of you that saw Anne Frank, what was that, a year ago, right, just about?
About and, 7 months,
yeah,
8 months?
It was our spring play, mm-hmm. And... So it's the opposite in the season, but yeah, probably about 9 months ago, last season.
And again, a great production, and our friend Karen Kessler got an award for that
show.
She
sure did.
She was wonderful.
Motif Magazine Award, so that was very nice. Now, in this show, Amy, unlike what we just experienced with My Fair Lady, which is a huge production with 20-some-odd people in it and full orchestration and huge sets, This is not a musical, right? Although we're playing music today, it has nothing to do with the actual event, the play that's itself.
Correct, yes.
Now, I don't want to mislead people and think that they're going to hear this music when they go there.
No, we will have some music in the play, but it is absolutely not a musical, and it's
not. Do you need me to whistle or anything?
It's more of an element of mood rather than storytelling.
Okay, great. All right. So we'll set the mood with the music that we've been using, and we've heard a little bit about the show. When was this written? Is this written a long, long time ago and then adapted, or?
We're doing the original play. I don't believe it has ever been adapted. Actually, it was written for Broadway.
Okay.
It was written in the 50s. Of course, it was turned into this glorious movie starring Grace Kelly by Alfred Hitchcock. And it's certainly, been done places, but I actually am struck when I was doing some research. We kind of wanted to do a mystery. We'd never done that at our theater before. And knowing that this particular show was going to open on Halloween night, we thought, okay, that's great. Mm-hmm. And I'm just continually struck by how smart this script is. The best plays you read and you say, that's good. But then when you start to get into it and you hear it out loud, because of course a play should be seen and heard and not just read,
right.
And you put it on its feet, and we really have a terrific cast. I think it's... more important in some plays than others, but everybody, looks the part. Like, it's just, mm-hmm. It's a very nice looking show. I get it. I get why Hitchcock liked this play, because it really isn't about what you think it's about. It's about just getting away with it, outsmarting the people around you. And we've had a lot of fun in rehearsal, digging in, and there's just not a missed word. We're sort of setting it, we're keeping it in London. It takes place in London. But we haven't really focused so much on any historical year. Mm-hmm. A little more of a generic past, okay. If you will.
Mm-hmm. All right, what piece of music do we have coming up next?
So this is going to be the theme from Rebecca, which I think most people know. And this is a different composer, Franz Waxman.
Thank you.
probably bringing back a lot of memories to people when they hear the music themes from these Hitchcock movies. So that's if you enjoy that kind of thing, you're going to enjoy Dial M for Murder. You know, you mentioned the word Dial M. Already we've dated it. You said there was no specific date, but there are probably a whole generation of kids right now that have no idea what dial means.
You're probably right.
If you think about it, I mean, as a matter of
they
fact...
They just talk into the phone now.
Isn't the logo of the show a phone dial?
A rotary, yeah.
A rotary phone dial. Now, when was the last time you saw one of those or used one? That's a good question. So that does date it.
You're absolutely right. Well, and it so just to get off sort of topic for just a second, but it is interesting. And there was a forgive me, I can't tell you what the name of it was, but there was a very popular horror film that came out maybe as much as 8 or 10 years ago, and the writer had purposely said it in the 80s because he's like, how do you have a horror film where people get stuck without cell phones? Like, right, you know, and he was right. Like, how do I do this? And he said, you know, forget it. I'm just going to set it before there were cell phones. So, you know, it is interesting, and certainly a lot of people have succeeded with great suspenseful stories that include cell phones or things like that. But was that movie Phone Booth? You know, and you couldn't, there are no phone booths anymore. Right. So it is interesting. And I think the isolationism is something that of not knowing who to call or when to call or how to call is something that's, it's changing in our society. It's a good point.
It's talk about horror things. There's a great commercial right now on television. And I can't remember what I think it's an insurance company where these kids are trying to hide from the horror, and they're running to a barn and to a cemetery,
yes,
and they decide to hide behind the chainsaws. You know, good,
yeah,
good
they're
decision.
Like, there's a car. No, don't get in the car and drive away. Let's
So there you go. Situations.
Nobody has an actual survival instinct in any of those movies. Right. They just do the worst possible thing.
And I think that's really, again, why Hitchcock really drew himself to the story. And so if there's any of your listeners out there, yes, there is a murder, but it's not about the murder. It's not about the gore. It's not about the killing so much as it's about getting away with it. So the suspense isn't like a haunted house.
Mm-hmm.
The suspense is who's going to outsmart who. So, you know, I think I want to be sure we don't, you know, worry any patrons.
Right,
any
this
patrons.
Isn't a spooky haunted house thing.
Things aren't going to jump out. Right. You know, of course, it is about a murder. So there is a murder. They're
right.
Not going to say
there
isn't. There
is things.
But it isn't so much about, I believe that the author also wrote Wait Until Dark, which if people are familiar with that, it's about the blind woman. And
right.
So a lot of the play takes place in the dark.
Right.
And so it's very much what I call that haunted house. Like you don't know who's going to hop out from behind what piece of furniture.
Different feeling.
This is a psychological thriller. It is about outsmarting some very smart people. You know, you had said earlier in the interview, the cat and mouse.
Right.
And will the mouse, you know, catch the cat?
Who will win? Who will win in the end? All right, we'll get more details in a moment. Let's get to another piece of music, and because we have a lot to cover yet, so I want to get to that.
So this is another very famous film. This is from Vertigo.
Thank you.
Amy, in your description of the show, it's reminiscent a little bit. You said you've never done a mystery like this before at Ocean State Theater. However, I do remember when you did Race that it was kind of a mystery in that you ended up not knowing what happened.
Yes, that's interesting. Absolutely. And I think that there's a very, very strong similarity in the fact that there are two scripts that are written where almost literally every word means something. They're very meticulously written to lead you through the audience's journey of discovery. So absolutely, and I do agree with you, I think Race is, in a loose term, a mystery. It certainly unfolds in front of us, doesn't it?
Right.
With very smart characters, very smart characters. Now, the interesting thing is David Mamet is very well known, who is the author of Race, for his fast-paced, you know, very contemporary conversational, you know, rapid-fire machine gun dialogue. And one of the things we've actually discussed in rehearsal with the actors is the style of this particular author, Mr. Knott, and also the style of that genre and that era, if you will, of playwriting, that so much happens in the pauses, and there's a very different style. So in one argument, it's absolutely very similar, and in a different argument, it's kind of the polar opposite.
Just a completely different style. Now, Rudy, as an actor, you go from one thing to another, and you've just finished up recently at Courthouse Center for the Arts, right?
Yes.
And what show was that?
That was called The Impaler's Progress, which is a new work written by Mark Carter. It's a brilliant play, and it was a wonderful experience and a dream role for an actor to get to play. I mean, something you can really sink your teeth
into. But now you have to change gears.
I do have to change gears. Now I'm a much smoother type of, you know, con man. And, you know, that's the fun of acting. You know, you never get bored. 6-8 weeks later, you get to change who you are and invest yourself in a completely different way and make all sorts of different choices.
Now, as a con man, is he going to have any resemblance to our famous favorite con men that were in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels?
Perhaps the mustache?
The fact that, well, it's interesting because there's a line in the play where he says, the lead actor, the husband, says to Rudy's character, Captain Lesgett, you know, well, you can always marry for money, knowing full well what Captain Lesgett does not know, that he already knows that this particular conman, Captain Lesgett, is trying to marry a woman for her money. And again, that cat and mouse. And we know, the audience, early on, that the leading actor is telling us the truth. He married his wife for her money, and now he needs to kill her so he can keep that. And if I may, I'd love to just say that as the director speaking to the set designer, Katrin Hesch, that I said it has to kind of be a living room and an apartment that you would kill for, because it's the only visual representation other than clothing and whatnot, you know, that says that he was not willing to give up this lifestyle through a divorce or to an estrangement. You know, he needs that. So we were very fortunate to be able to have a partner in design on this particular production with Ethan Allen, the amazing, wonderful, gorgeous
furniture company. Right?
And so all of the furnishings, the lamps, the chandeliers, the much of the artwork is, and the furniture is all coming on loan.
Right.
And it was designed through some of their designers working with our set designer and myself to come up with this apartment worth killing for.
Okay. All right. Well, that'll be very cool. Let's get one more piece of music in before we take our next break. And what movie is this going to be of Alfred Hitchcock?
Yeah, this is a little different. It was actually a film that Alfred Hitchcock made in 1976. So it's really a different era of filmmaking. It's called Family Plot. And I think your listeners have probably heard of a gentleman named John Williams before.
I think so.
And this is the only film that he scored for Alfred Hitchcock. So this is from Family Plot.
We will listen to that and be back with more. Thank you. We are back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Amy Turner and Rudy Sanda, and we are talking about Dial M for Murder, which opens this week at Ocean State Theater Company. We've been listening to some great movie themes by Alfred Hitchcock movies, and we have one we want to get in before we finished talking. So, Amy, let's go to this next one. Very, very famous movie.
Yeah, so this is going to be the main theme from North by Northwest, and now we're back to a very common composer for Alfred Hitchcock, another Bernard Herrmann composition.
Thank you.
Wow, we've had the opportunity to listen to some great movie themes, and I'm sure bring a lot of memories back to our audience about some of the wonderful Alfred Hitchcock movies over the years, but time has flown. So I want to give Rudy the opportunity to just say a couple more things. And before that, I want to thank you, Rudy, for coming in today and look forward to your presentation. I'll see you on Friday night, but good luck. And
I
hope it all goes very well. Thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you for having me today. It's been a fun experience and a pleasure to meet you again.
Again, right. And I'm sure you look forward to the group of people you're going to be working with.
Absolutely. I mean, from the first table read, I was very impressed with my castmates. And, you know, we've been doing some very specific work, and it's going to be great. I mean, I'm very excited about it, and I can't wait for you to come see it. You're going to love the show.
I'm sure I will. Amy, lots of other things happening at the theater, too. We have some other events coming up.
We do. We launch our Family Fun Fest, which, of course, is our young audience shows. We have 7 of those lined up this year, $10 a ticket. So bring all the little children in your life and let them understand how wonderful theater is. That launches in November. We have Rhode Island native Ida Zecco doing her one-woman show, Estra Gin and Tonic, November 22nd, American Acapella. You'll be gracing our stage as well again on December 6th. We're excited about that. We have some cool things about to announce for January and February. So just, I would love it if everybody that's listening checked out our website or liked us on Facebook so that they're in the know, as it were.
In the know. And you can check that out by going to the website and or calling.
That's right. OceanStateTheater.org or 401-921-6800.
Excellent. And we have one more piece of music before we wrap it up. And this is the one you wanted to save till last.
Yeah, we thought we would save the theme from Dial M for Murder from that beautiful movie. This is composed by Dmitri Tiomkin, I believe is how you pronounce his name.
Close enough for
but,
us.
But we'll save that familiarity for last.
All right, Amy, thanks again for coming in as usual and being as wonderful as you are.
Well, I certainly appreciate you having us on.
We'll listen to this, and then the rest of you will see you next week on Conducting Conversations. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.